Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Where did the twist go? Bro, it's so crazy. Bro, really cut his hair for real.
Hey man, people say they like the cut, bro. That's what I'm talking about, man.
الحمد لله.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So the topic of today's podcast, inshallah, is going to be a lot about the misrepresentation of the Muslim identity, not just by non-Muslims, but Muslims ourselves. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't necessarily do right as a society or as an ummah because of how we are represented in the media by non-Muslims. Maybe it is purely out of their hatred for us or something like that, because, you know, the Prophet, he did everything correct and, you know, he was never liked by his enemies. But one thing they always had to do was respect him. And if you hear a lot about Muslims, even from like directly from non-Muslims, if they speak to like one Muslim that is upon the truth, then they'll tell you, oh, this person, he's respectable, they have discipline, they have this, they have that. But then when they talk about the community as a whole, the Muslim community as a whole, they're calling us very bad names, they're calling us a cult, they're calling us all these types of things. And like, where does it come from? A lot of it comes from our own selves, like our own hearts and our own deeds. And one thing that we have to really remember is that our hearts and our actions are the things that Allah looks at. He doesn't look at your wealth. He doesn't look at your status. He doesn't look at any of that stuff. But for us as Muslims, especially living in Western societies and like societies where not being Muslim is very prevalent, like in the biggest religion today is no religion, and especially like in a place like America, like having no belief system is one of the biggest things. Then we have to be here to be able to combat that.
Look, and I think it's extremely important to recognize, you know, when I was growing up, even for a lot of Muslims, when they're growing up, you know, you get taught how to pray, you get taught how to, you know, how to read the Quran and things like that. Or some people might not even get taught that, but for the most part, right, you get taught how to do these things, you get taught the religion in a respectable way. But then I don't remember being taught how to deal or how to treat other people or how to treat non-Muslims. You know, I never, it's just something you kind of develop on your own. You develop, you know, your own character. I was never taught, you know, like how to treat other people. And subhanAllah, you know, it kind of, you know, you kind of see it in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you how to deal with people, you know, how to deal with people in a way which is just, in a way which is right.
You also got to realize that the essence of like who we are today and like the things that we consume, like the things that our heart consumes, a lot of it, especially what I see on social media, is a lot to do with do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. You know, and it doesn't necessarily show you like, you know, the other side of things. And we're so focused on all the wrong that we're doing, we don't focus on the good that we're doing or the fact that you can always come back from wrong.
Or even some people, they don't realize, like, things have become so normal, they don't realize that it's wrong.
Well, that's the thing. That's the whole point of, you know, secularism is came in not just to colonize us mentally, right? Because here's the thing. When you have a group of people who are religious, right, whether they be Muslim, Christian, Jew, or whatever it is that they may follow, they put their faith first, right? That's their main focus, right? And obviously governments, societies, you know, just in general, things that have a propaganda, right? When they're trying to push something onto us and they know that our main focus is God, how do they get us to deter from that? Is by implementing things or normalizing things that, you know, that are wrong. Like, for example, right? When it comes to even us as Muslims, like you start having, you know, Muslims who, you know, put things into the religion or saying that these things are not so bad, or even taking the good and making them haram and things like that. Allah warns us about these things in the Quran, right? Like, don't make what Allah has made halal upon you haram and vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what we've come down to. And then you get these versions of, you know, like Islam light or a secular Islam and things of that nature, right? And these are things that we have to really, you know, be careful of because it's become so normalized in our society to do things that, you know, don't go with our religion, but is said to be with our religion.
And that's an issue because like there's a lot of things, and like you said, there's different versions of it. You can see like You may see certain cultures who have blurred the lines between culture and Islam. So they make the two look like to be the same. Oh,
and that's the other thing too. Like, I just think about where we live. Like, if they want us to get away, like, for example, when they say, oh, the separation between church and state and things like that, things that are lawful, things that are ethical. Like, when it comes to, like, a Muslim society, when it comes to Sharia, right? The law goes, what, hand-in-hand with ethics. Here, it's not necessarily the case, right? Because you might have something that's legal, right? But it's not necessarily ethical. Like, for example, what's very popular here in America right now? Normalization of weed. Normalization of sports betting, right? Which we hear about all the time. Like, I can't even go out somewhere without somebody mentioning, oh, how much you putting on that fight or how much you putting on that race or whatever it may be. It's just always something to bet on, right? Mm. Oh, I love gambling. Let's go gambling. Let's go lose some money. Let's go make some money. But here's the thing. Like, they just get trapped in this endless loop, right? Just think about that for a second.
It's also, I mean, here in America, like, it's halal to have an open relationship, like to have a relationship with someone without being married to them. Mm-hmm. And there, nobody's worried about like what you're doing outside of that. But what does Islam say? There's a story of a man who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he mentioned four times to his face that he committed adultery, not just in a meaning. He was married and committed and cheated on his wife. And the Prophet ﷺ kept turning away from him every time he said it, so that he wouldn't, because he didn't want to be a witness to it. He didn't want to witness that he said it, but he said it four times. And once you say it four times, there's obviously a punishment for that. When you commit adultery, the punishment is a stoning to death. It's not just lashings or anything like that. When you commit adultery, there's a heavy punishment for it. And the Prophet ﷺ kept turning away so that he can go and repent, because that would have been better for him. But because he kept telling him, meaning he's now a witness and he heard it four times, it was lawful upon him to go and make sure he carries out that punishment that was set forth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here in America, you don't have those types of things. So people aren't scared of it. We're not scared of committing zina or going into these relationships, doing things that, you know, take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we don't notice it in the moment. Like, the state of your heart is not something that switches like just like that, just overnight. Sometimes guidance can feel like that. You know, alhamdulillah for me, there have been times where I felt like guidance came to me and it was just like a flash, like a split second, or, you know, just like one night going to sleep, waking up the next morning, I felt like, you know, a brand new person. But when you're getting taken away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if you have a connection to Allah, when you're doing certain bad things that you don't realize how bad they are, or if they even are bad, then you're never going to realize exactly how much they impact you, because that's what shaitan does. Shaitan beautifies the bad things for us as a society and us as a whole, so that we become more secular. We become more like the non-Muslims and like the Christians who they follow this book, but their ideologies are very skewed to the point that you don't actually know what they believe in, because they go against their entire book.
Look, it's kind of like, that's kind of like the dilemma of a Muslim or any religious person for that matter. We mentioned Jews and Christian. It's kind of the dilemma. It's kind of you kind of get demonized for believing in your religion. It doesn't matter who you are, Hindu, Buddhist, or Muslims. I'll speak about Muslims in particular. You kind of get demonized. You called an extremist. It's kind of, you know, 200 years ago, it was okay to have a belief. 200 years ago, it was okay to believe in your religion, stand behind this idea, like your life depended on it. Now it's kind of like we don't have people who are willing to even give, you know, the time of day for their religion. They're not even willing to speak about their idea or speak truth behind their idea. It's because we kind of live in this society where we are so comfortable and we have kind of such good living standards that we're not willing to risk losing any of it for our idea.
Here's the thing. When you have someone who's trying to control, like the government, what's one of the things that you want to do first? You want to take over. You're going to start brainwashing people. You're going to let them know. You're going to try to slowly reel these people in, you know, not just by killing these people off, but mentally enslaving them, right? Because here in this world, you're going to be a slave to something, whether it be Allah or your desires, right? You become a slave to your desires, you know, you've lost at that point. And there's plenty of examples about this, like what I literally just brought up earlier. Like, I want you to imagine, when you have a strong planted Muslim, right, whose only focus is Allah, they breathe for Allah, they eat for Allah, they go out for Allah, they work for Allah, they fight for Allah. Like, how easy is it going to be to control that person? Very, very difficult, if not impossible, right? Then you're going to have the other person on the other hand where, you know, they have weak belief, or, you know, they're doing things that they shouldn't be. It's going to be very easy to deviate this person off the path, right? Because it's not like they're completely on it. They got one foot in, one foot out.
Mm-hmm. And what are you mentioning right now? You're mentioning taqwa, your God consciousness, piety, these sorts of attributes or these qualities that help you draw near to Allah. And these are not things that you should ever feel to be extreme or something like that. Because yes, there is an extreme level of going at the religion, a way that you may not be able to handle just yet or handle ever, because you shouldn't. Nobody should push themselves to an extreme. Nobody should push themselves towards negligence. Negligence is when you let those bad things not affect you or you don't recognize them. Or negligence can be that you don't, like, you don't recognize that you may do bad that you're not even aware of, so you still don't seek forgiveness. Forgiveness should be something you seek, whether you, if you were the most perfect human being, you should do it because the Prophet did it. That's how blessed seeking forgiveness is. And on the other side, having taqwa, it just means going out in your everyday life and you're conscious of Allah. Meaning, when you're doing something good, when you do a good action, you get praise for it, you don't take the praise. You praise to Allah. You say, I did this because of Allah. When people ask you, how are you so disciplined? How do you go to the gym and you're so disciplined? How do you do all this? How do you wake up and do these five prayers? How do you stay away from zina, stay away from alcohol, and you're living around all this fitna? I do it because of Allah, because I fear Allah. When you can attribute everything you do to Allah, and you tell people, even the non-Muslims will now take heed of that, be like, oh, he's this way because he's Muslim. Not because you hear non-Muslims say, it's not that hard to be a good person. It's not that hard to be nice to people. It's not. But why do I do it? Because Allah said so.
And that's the thing. That fear in Allah, like, that's something that we should all have, right? Like, there should be no type of excuse, especially with things that we're doing, and especially the fact that we sin every single day, knowingly and unknowingly. Like, we should really be fearful of Allah. Like, I want you to imagine this. Who knew Allah the most? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who feared Allah the most? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like, I just want you to imagine that. Like, the fear and knowing Allah goes hand in hand, because the more you get to know somebody, the more you get to love somebody, the more you're going to fear them. And that doesn't obviously mean in such a bad way, because one, you fear losing that relationship. You fear making that person upset. You fear, you know, what they may be able to do for you. Like, for example, our parents, right? You know, there might be a time, you know, when we were kids, we knew if we did something wrong, our parents would take something away from us, or they would punish us in a way. But that doesn't mean, obviously, you know, we hate them. No, we still love our parents. And the same thing with Allah. Like, you should love Allah. And the thing is that you should always fear losing that relationship with Allah, and also be fearful of the fact that what he may be able to do to you, because he is, at the end of the day, he's the Lord of the worlds. You know, he could do whatever he wants with you.
And it's really important for us as a community to not get stuck in titles or labels or differences or whatever it may be, and to really just focus on who you are first before you start going out and pushing other people towards a certain ideology or a certain belief system or however it may be. Because one thing I notice on social media a lot is that a lot of people, they have a target audience. But especially if you're spreading Islam, you should be spreading Islam first, looking towards people who are weak. If people are already strong, they don't need your content, because, like, your content doesn't serve them anymore, because they know what they're doing. They know where to seek their knowledge from. They know that you're not a source of knowledge for them, because they know where to get knowledge. Your content, especially on social media, should be for people who are weak, people who are struggling. All of us are going to struggle at something, but it's better for you to push people to be more spiritual, to push more towards the love of Allah before saying, you're a mubtada, you're a kafir, you're this, you're that. And when you push these labels and these things onto other people, they get confused. People who are not that very knowledgeable, or they grew up a different way than you, they're not going to know. We have to be more, like, sensual in ourselves to know that as a community, okay, if I'm in a certain place, I should attribute that to Allah, and, like, help people understand that not everybody's where I'm at right now. Not everybody has the same connection to Allah that I have. Not everybody has the same relationship to Allah. People may not have the same love for the prayer that I have. That's okay. Because I have that now, and what can I do with that? I can go give da'wah to people who are Muslim. It doesn't have to always be to non-Muslims. It can be to people who are Muslims. I can bring people who I see around me, bring them into my friend group. Because if you surround yourself with all Muslims, and there's one weak among you, he's going to be stronger just by virtue of being around you.
Exactly. And we know firsthand how those conversations, even if, like, necessarily not everyone's practicing, but we know how those conversations can lead to, you know, personal development, like how well you guys even getting to know each other intimately. It's those conversations that you have with each other where you're talking about religion, you're talking about life, you're talking about death, you're talking about the hereafter with each other. And it kind of develops that bond and that love that you have for each other. I see, like, Muslims today, I don't know what it is. I don't want to be that guy who's always speaking like, oh, the ummah needs to fix this. I believe that we have truly like a wonderful youth. We have a good generation, like a spawn of the future is bright ahead of us. But it seems like we can't be genuine with each other anymore. It seems like we kind of demonize those conversations where we're genuinely asking questions about the religion to each other, to like young Muslims who asking, you know, questions which are intimate and getting really to know each other. Because that's what really led us to this podcast today. If you think about it, when we had those nights and we were praying,
because here's the thing, it's not the main topic. Mm-hmm. Like, when it comes to our age group, the main topic is always clubs, girls, you know, haram, you know what I mean? Just a whole bunch of haram, right? And then when you have all these meaningless conversations, right, it just feeds into your heart, just feeds into your brain, and that's all you want. You know, you're just constantly feeding that desire. Oh, when are we going to do it again? What are we going to do? Oh, that was so much fun. Then you just get indulged in it. You get stuck in it.
It's probably you get stuck in that mindset for years and years and years on end until you're 35, 38. Now you look back, you're like, dude, I wasted all my time. Where'd that time? That's the kind of the biggest fear right there. I wasted all my time.
If I can give anybody some advice, it's have time for this and have time for that. Have time for your fun conversations. Like, for example, me, I love talking about sports. So we can have debates about sports, or we can watch sports together. But you also have to find time to talk about Allah, to talk about the religion of Islam, to talk about the prophets, to talk about the stories of the Quran. And you should be able to reflect on that, because look, you have an experience of yourself. You have your own relationship to Allah. But then when you can share that with another person, whether it's a family member, a friend, a spouse, whoever, then you're going to get their perspective. You're going to understand how they can approach the religion. You're going to see how you guys connect on that level. Because when you connect on a spiritual level, wallahi, that's someone that you see beyond this world. Like that, because spiritual connection is beyond the dunya. Because you guys are not bonding over anything that's dunya related. SubhanAllah, you ever realize that? When you guys are talking about Allah, you're not bonding over the dunya. But you're bonding over your connection to the unknown, to the unseen, to the Lord of al-alameen. You're bonding over your love for the Prophet, a man that you never met, but you believe in everything he ever did. You believe in everything he's ever said and all the ahadith that have been authenticated by him, like that he did and that he said, all these actions that he did, and you try to follow these things. You guys are bonding over these types of things. Of course, you guys are going to be building a strong thing that brings you closer to Allah. And that is why Allah tells you that when you remember him in a group of people, he's going to remember you in a better group, which is why talking about Allah is the thing that helps your iman the most. Mm-hmm. Saying certain kalimas like dhikr and reading Quran, these things will help your iman. But the thing that really boosts your iman the most is when you can talk about Allah. When you feel confident in talking about Allah and you feel confident in your relationship with him.
And you know what's important, because especially we live in America, you can go days, weeks. If you don't have a Muslim friend group or people you could talk about your religion with, you can go days, weeks, months without even talking about it with anybody else. And now you're in your head. Now you're like, you're crazy. Now you sound crazy. You think, I've had this happen to me. I'll go through school. I'll go through months. This was like back sophomore year, freshman year. I go through months without speaking or like going to the masjid or doing anything, right? And I'll just be like, dog, am I crazy? Like, am I just existing in this paradigm where I've created like my own imagination? Like I ask these questions to myself. I'm like, nah, like, and then there's no way SubhanAllah. And then SubhanAllah, even these podcasts, they help me every single week. You know, they help, you know, build your iman. They help look at you. If you go back and look at our page, every single time, there's something new that we talk about, but it's the theme stays consistent. We always talk about Islam. We always talk about this passion.
And that reminder definitely helps. Like, it's such a benefit, especially like we switched our day from recording to Sunday to Fridays. And I'm like, alhamdulillah, just having the opportunity to talk about Allah either before or after Jumu'ah is another great feeling as well.
Bro, and I was about to say the same thing, that like these podcasts in specific help me so much, because sometimes I feel alienated. I spend a lot of time by myself. You know, I go to the gym by myself. I play basketball. I do all these types of things. So I'm not always spending time with friends or anybody. I might spend a lot of time in my room doing my own type of work or whatever. And so I'll feel alienated because I have nobody to talk deen with. Like, obviously, I love talking about deen. I love talking about other things, but talking about deen is that one thing that helps you feel boosted, helps you feel elevated, because you feel like Allah inspired you to do this. You made the choice to do it, but talking about Allah is truly a blessing.
And it's something about those conversations that helps, because we're talking about here, like, you know, Muslim perception. It kind of helps, especially in America. You saw just before this podcast previous, we brought up a point and all three of us, we jumped in. Now we talking, now we up. And before we brought up that point regarding, it was a point regarding Islam. We brought up a topic. Hassan asked me a question, right? We'll save it for next week's podcast. Hassan asked me a question. And all three of us, we jumped in. Before that, everybody's on their phones. We were quiet. We weren't really talking to nobody. We just ate. Like, we were pretty, you know, getting ready to just record. And Hassan asked that question. Boom. Now I'm ready. Now I'm fired up. Now I'm ready. And it's kind of those moments, you know, like, it's like one of those things. It's just men being men.
But here's the other thing, too. You got to remember, your brain is what? A muscle. You got to exercise it. Having these types of conversations is just always going to better you, because you're talking about something that's beneficial. It has meaning in it. Like, they don't get any better than this.
Yeah, and exactly. And it's just like one of those things. It's just men being men. We can disagree with each other. We don't hold grudges with each other. We can yell at each other. We can scream at each other. We can even fist fight. And then after that, you just forget about it.
What you talking about?
Like, we don't realize how much talking deen like will impact your life until after you've done it. Because then, you know, you, if you've ever had those conversations and then you go make dua, the dua feels better. The prayer after that feels better because you just filled your heart with something that Allah loves, which is His remembrance. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to necessarily be His remembrance by saying SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Sometimes that becomes mundane to you because you might just be saying it to say it. You know, your tongue is saying it, but your heart's not feeling it. But when you talk about Allah out loud and you're talking about Him in a group of setting, one, you have your own perspective. You have your own views. Your friends, they have their own views, or whoever you're talking to, they have their own like ideas, and they'll bring them up to you. They may give you advice, they may teach you something, they may teach you hadith or remind you of a Quran verse. Now your whole mind, like once again, your brain is constantly flexing, but it's flexing the remembrance of Allah. Now you're thinking about Allah in a different way, and Allah tells you, I am as my servant thinks of me. So if you're constantly thinking good of Allah, why wouldn't you want to talk to Him? When you think good of something, you're going to want to talk about it a lot.
Yeah, just speaking about the dua part, like you ever just watch a video, you learn about Allah's mercy and how He is and just about His attributes, and you go make that dua afterwards, and yeah, it really does feel like it's going to get accepted. Yeah. Versus, look, you might just be making dua in your room a random night, right? You hadn't heard anything about Allah all day, but does that mean His mercy changed? No. Did He change? No. Nothing about Him changed, but you went out, hey, you got reminded of Allah, and now you have a way better thought of Allah.
And you know, SubhanAllah, it's kind of those conversations. After those conversations, you kind of get that thought, that shift in mindset, if that would have never happened had you never had that conversation. That's kind of like, SubhanAllah, over the years, we've been building on these conversations and these, like, because people think that the only way to learn, you know, to gain knowledge is, you know, through a book. That's not necessarily true. You gain knowledge through experience, you gain knowledge through, you know, your own thoughts, you ask your own questions. You know, you can watch a video, you can listen to a podcast, you can do whatever, do some research.
That's got to be the biggest myth. The Prophet said something, he was illiterate.
Yeah, he was illiterate.
He was illiterate. You don't always need a book to learn.
Exactly. And you also learn a lot through having conversations. You know, the more you talk to people, the more you ask questions, the more you converse and debate and have these, you know, these quarrels, the more you're going to learn.
I mean, that's literally how I realized, oh, I don't know nothing. Like until, you know, I started asking questions. I started asking myself questions. I started like looking stuff up. I started asking people questions. And then that's how you just learn. Like people think that it's this like rocket science to learn something. Like, no, bro, just go out there and look for it. But someone who wants a path of knowledge, like for the sake of Allah, Allah's going to make that path easy for him.
Just think about any time that you were passionate about something. You go out, you start researching about it, you start listening to videos about it, listening to lectures, whatever it may be, just trying to your best to go ahead and get into that. And then you start, you know, growing a love for it. And then that's all of a sudden, that's all you want to talk about. Then you're, you know, you start getting hot when you start talking about it, your chest is pumping, you know what I mean? And this just becomes a passion for you.
Exactly. And that's, dude, that's something that a lot of people don't understand. I want Muslims to hear this, that the knowledge that you gain and the knowledge that you seek, whether it be about anything, whether it be Islamic knowledge, knowledge about the world that we live in today, understanding our society, how it works, banks, the government, everything that like that, right? That knowledge is truly beneficial to you. And that's knowledge that people cannot take away from you. Look, I'll give you an analogy. Two nations are at war. 100 men versus 100 men. Five of those men regarding with each nation are scientists. Those 100 men will die before the scientists do because of the knowledge that the scientists hold. That's how important, that's like that. With that analogy, you can really understand how important knowledge is to people. And how important knowledge is with regards to any aspect. Why do you think doctors are very highly valued? Lawyers are really highly valued. It's because the knowledge that they have, the knowledge and the experience that they have. So it really boosts my iman.
The role to society. Like,
yeah, exactly. The role to society. It really boosts my iman when I see that, you know, Islam is keen on preservation of knowledge. It's like SubhanAllah, this is really a religion from Allah.
That means we have to preserve our own selves, meaning we have to preserve our hearts. And like I said, time for this and a time for that. Like you don't have to spend your whole day in like talking about Allah or something, but you should find a love for that. You should find a passion. If you're really passionate about Islam and like this is the way you live your life, then God consciousness is going to lead you to talk more about Allah because there's nothing better than talking about Allah. When it comes to like in good deeds and things that will benefit your heart, there's nothing better than that. But it doesn't mean that you can't have fun conversations. You can't go out and have fun. You should do all of that. But there should never be a point where you're completely heedless to Allah. Because when you're doing that, then that thing is not good for you. And you have to recognize that. But we're afraid to ask ourselves those questions. We're afraid to sit there and reflect and be like, is this situation good for me? Is me hanging around these people and I haven't thought about nothing. I haven't thought about my prayers or anything like that this whole time for the last 6 hours. Is that good for me? No, it's not. And of course, Allah is the most merciful. But if you continue in that way, shaitan's going to push you to think that you're bigger than Allah's mercy, meaning you can continue in this way and that Allah's mercy will come to you later when you need it. Because right now you're enjoying yourself and you're okay with it because your lifestyle is still good. But this dunya is not always meant to be good for you. Because if it's always good for you, while you're doing your obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's perfect. But if you're heedless to some of your obligations and you think, oh, it's because Allah is merciful with me, Allah's not going to save you forever, bro. I'll tell you that right now. He's not going to continue to save you and think that once that heedlessness takes over and you feel like you're okay where you are, you're complacent in your deen, you're complacent with forgetting about your relationship to Allah for a time because you're having fun, that's where Allah will leave you. And He'll leave you there till you're no longer thinking about it at all. Because that's the vessel, and that's the vessel that if that becomes corrupt, the whole body becomes corrupt. And the whole body now no longer knows where it's walking towards, has no idea what it's putting forth for the next day, has no idea what it's preparing right now in this dunya to meet Allah in the akhirah. You're not going to have any idea of the type of person you are anymore. Because if you lost sight of what's right and what's wrong, what's better for you. Like truly, when you feel this connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how it benefits you, then you're going to want to put that forth.
And it's not also, we keep talking about it like ourselves, right? But it's also with regards to other people. Like when you have that connection, when you have that heart that loves, like a heart that truly loves, a heart that's alive, you start to feel that towards other people. You don't want to be nasty. You don't want to be angry. You don't want to diminish people. You like, it kind of hurts you to see other people not doing well, not doing good. It kind of like, that's kind of what develops.
Here's the other thing. If you truly, truly believe in what Allah says and in your religion and your deen, then you're going to want to go ahead and spread that. Because you really, if you feel like you know the truth, you got the cure, you know what I mean? What type of selfish person would you be to sit here and gatekeep that type of information, that type of knowledge, right? You should be like, if you have friends, you genuinely love them and care about them, then you're going to want to go ahead and give them the message too. Because you know that if you don't and they continue on what they're doing, then of course, you know, hellfire is what's waiting for the disbelievers. But if you know that, oh, you know, try your best to go ahead and, you know, spread the knowledge, spread the deen, then, you know, you want paradise for this person, then yeah. Or even if you see your own Muslim brother or sister and you genuinely give them the advice because you know that this will lead them closer to Jannah because you actually care for them and you actually know and what you're saying is true, that's another type of feeling as well.
Look, don't let the non-Muslims be stronger in their disbelief than you are in your belief. Because if you're firm in your belief and you truly believe in that and like you have a thirst for knowledge, or at least you have a connection to Allah that you feel like other people should have as well. Because if you've tasted the sweetness of Iman, then you want everybody to feel that sweetness. Meaning you try your best to be able to try and share it. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm telling you go set up da'wah tables outside, but you could be da'wah by example. Your character. When people ask you about who you are and they ask questions about you, you should be able to attribute it back to Islam. You should always be able to attribute who you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Because one, good character does truly come from Allah. It does not come from you. You choose that, especially if you're Muslim, you choose that because of Allah. Or even someone who's non-Muslim, they got that because of Allah. Because Allah will favor people even if they're not Muslim, but He won't give people iman. He won't give those people that He doesn't love in this world iman. But he's going to give them blessings. He'll give you the ability to do good, to give in charity, to do all these types of things. And He'll bless you with it in this dunya. But the things that follow you in the akhirah are the things where your heart was at the forefront of why you did those things, why you were nice to that person that day, why you didn't lash out, why you controlled your anger with your family member. Because I feared Allah, because I feared what Allah would do to me if I lashed out, or if I committed that sin, or if I did this thing. On the day of judgment, Allah will reveal that to you.
Dude, speaking of like just like the preservation of knowledge and just always wanted to go out and just learn something, man, I remember like when I was really getting passionate about the deen, then like the next thing I was doing when I was trying to spread it is, go learn about every single type of objection, every single type of whatever, you know, just so that if I'm ever put in that type of situation, I know exactly what to say and how to handle it, right? Which is good and all, but you got to also understand too, like that has to be backed up with a good character as well. You can't just be sitting here, you know, someone asks you a question, you know the answer to, and it doesn't even reflect in your action. Then it's just meaningless. Like you'd rather have someone with great character and follow the fundamentals than someone who knows it all and doesn't act upon any of it.
Because kind of look, like the worst way to be.
When someone comes to Islam, what are they going to have first? They have to have the belief. They're not going to have any other of the tangibles or the intangibles. The first thing you have to establish is the belief. Because once they establish the belief, then they can start working on the other things. The things that you can see, the things that you can't see.
It's kind of like there's no virtue in knowledge that's not acted upon. Meaning there's no good that can come from knowledge that you don't act upon or you don't do anything with it.
Dude, I remember in the khutbah this week, like when the imam was like, oh, I want you guys to listen to this verse. Right, he said three things. I want you guys to listen to this verse, reflect upon this verse, and act upon it. Right? And that's exactly how we should be. Like you gotta listen to, you gotta understand it, reflect upon it, and, you know, just really take in what it really has to say, because we don't do that enough. Like I said, like, we get to the point where we just listen to Quran. It's just background noise. Like, no, like, that's something to sit there and sitting there to actually make you better. Like, I want you to imagine you take the Quran, right? You listen to it. Yes, it's a good feeling, right? It purifies you. But at the same time, like, now you're reading it in a book that it's in your own language, right? You don't speak Arabic, you speak English. All right, you know, listen to the Quran in English, right? So that you at least have an understanding of it. And then your whole perspective on it will change once again. It's like you go from level one to level two, and then, you know, you just keep on going and going and going.
But see, once again, that comes from effort, because, like, everybody's going to tell you that the original language of the Quran, the Arabic, it's something that no human can have, like, come up with themselves. Even to the poets in the time of Mecca, they were astonished at the language, the eloquence of the Quran, which, yes, the original is going to be the best version for you to try to read and understand. But if you don't, go read it in English and, you know, seek to see what Allah is trying to say. Because there are people who spent their whole life trying to decode the Quran into a different language, into translations. And once you start to hear the Quran, because hearing it is still good, because I heard a story. It was a boy. I believe his grandpa or his dad told him to go fill this bucket with water, but the bucket had holes in it and it was all muddy. So he went, he filled it up. He came back and all the water had spilled out. So he said, I can't do it. You know, it's not going to stay full because there's holes. Like, it's just dripping out. He said, go do it again. So he did it. Same thing happened. The water came all out of the holes. It was empty. And he did it again. He came back. It was empty again. So he was like, it's impossible. I can't do it. He was like, but look, what is the bucket now? At first clean. It was muddy. Now it's clean. Now it's squeaky clean. Because although, you know, the holes, they represent, like, you not necessarily understanding what's being said. Your heart is still getting clean to that, because you're filling your heart with the words of Allah, even though you may not understand it. Because that starts with the fitrah, bro. Like, when you really want to hear what Allah has to say, and that soothes your heart, that calms your heart, even though you may not fully understand it yet, Allah's going to push you to be able to understand it. Everything starts at a certain point. When you start praying, you're not perfect. You don't have perfect khushu. You may not pray all of them all the time. You might not even pray all of them. But eventually what happens? The bucket starts to get cleaner and cleaner. You're going to start to perfect your prayer. You're going to start praying on time. You're going to start making sure that you pray all your prayers on that day on time. And then your khushu is there. Once you do that, then you start trying to add the sunnah. Because what? Now you're getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. SubhanAllah. But with that being said, inshallah, I'm just going to close out this podcast. We hope you guys took some benefits. I hope you guys take any of these reminders. And let us know what you thought. Let us know any of your concerns, feedback, and inshallah, see you guys on the next podcast. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know, whose life could change. We're not scholars, so we're open to any corrections. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.